Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience Group of Five update show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as 40 grand with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, don't forget to download us, because you're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is here. Your home for all of our free picks and podcasts that is available for free in the App Store and Google Play Store. So grab that thing today and let it ride. All right, we're back talking Group of Five. If you have any questions, throw them shits in the chat. All right. Not enough people knowing about, tell a friend about the College Football Experience YouTube channel. We got to get this thing growing on the YouTube front. Yes, we do good numbers with our podcast, but come on, you got questions about college football? I know it's April. You might think, dude, why are you even talking it? Well, cause we eat, sleep and breathe fucking college football. All right. And that leads me into my next, let's hop into the Mountain West. Let's hop into the Mountain West because, I mean, Fresno State, I think they hit the home run, right? They get, so Jeff Tedford was their head coach just a couple of years ago, and Kalen DeBauer was the OC. Tedford has some heart issues. They go and hire DeBauer, as their head coach. It's just 2 years ago or something, right? Now DeBauer takes the Washington job. Tedford's heart is healthier. Boom, he's back as the head coach. He's coaching the players he recruited. Kind of a perfect situation, continuity wise, for the Bulldogs. And Jake Haener, their star quarterback, who's one of the best quarterbacks in America, not just the Group of Five, in America. He was in the portal, about to go to Washington. There was reports that he was just going to follow DeBauer to Washington. Nope. Jeff Tedford calls him home and says, "Hey, they hired me. Come back." And yes, they lose, you know, Ronnie Rivers, son of Reggie Rivers, the former Denver Bronco. He might be drafted, probably be in the NFL. But I mean, they're in a decent spot because they returned Jalen Cropper and Josh Kelly, both stud wideouts, absolutely stud wideouts. If you haven't seen this team, they can open it up. And then Jordan Mims, a running back, the super senior, he took advantage of that COVID eligibility. So he'll be the main running back. He ran for over 700 yards a season ago. They're in a very good spot. I think if you're a Fresno State fan, you got to be just really happy about. I mean, when DeBauer left for Washington, you're probably thinking, could the program fall apart? Because you've seen some bad years recently. Remember when you fired Pat Hill, and you went to what Tim DeRuiter, I think it was. Man, those are some tough days, I believe. But yes, they get Jeff Tedford. They get their guy. You look at their schedule. Out the gate, they get Cal Poly, the Mustangs, who got rid of the triple option. So, you know, they're going to get their ass kicked. Fresno will roll opening Thursday, and then they get Oregon State and Fresno, which is tricky. Oregon State, Jonathan Smith. Man, kudos to you, because Jonathan Smith, they get Boise in Corvallis week one, and then Fresno in Fresno week two. What are you doing to yourself? Then week three, they're at USC. I think if they can be 2-1 there, you'd be super happy. I'll tell you this. It's year one for Lincoln Riley, and I know he's a very sharp offensive mind. I went to ECU. He was our OC, and he made a big difference right away. So I'd expect him to do the same at USC. But man, if he's not ready, Fresno State's going to give them a game. I feel like Fresno always gives them a game. Man, can you imagine if Fresno knocked off Oregon State and USC this year? That would be a terrible look for the Pac-12, but watch out. This Fresno team, I think, is really good. They get a bye, and then they're at UConn. Damn, it's a back-to-back away. They go at UConn, which should be an easy win, but damn, that's far. And then at Boise the next week on the Smurf turf. Bachmeyer's back at Boise. We'll talk about that in a minute, but that's going to be a tough, and Fresno put it on Boise last year in Fresno. So I would not be surprised if Boise has this one circled. I think 4-1 out the gate, or I'm sorry, 3-2 out the gate is likely, an 0-1 in conference play at the gate after that. Now, after that, they get San Jose State and Fresno, which should be a good one. Brent Brennan, I think, is a really underrated coach. They return Nick Nash at quarterback. They also get Chevin Cordiero from Hawaii. This is what I mean by the rotating the musical chairs here. A lot of these quarterbacks been at the within the Mountain West, just moving around. So Chevin Cordiero leaves Hawaii, goes to San Jose State. I think Fresno's going to be better there, or going to be favored there. I think it's a good game, but I think Fresno will get it done. Then Fresno goes to Dream Style Stadium to take on New Mexico. I think they'll get that. And then they get San Diego State in Fresno, which should be a damn good game. Brady Hoke's doing a good job with the Aztecs. I mean, and then they get Hawaii at UNLV, at Nevada, who I think is taking a step back with Jay Norvell leaving. And then they get Wyoming and Fresno. They have a watch out. If they are able to beat USC and Oregon State early in the year, watch out for this team really making a run. I'm excited. This is getting me excited. I'm talking myself into Fresno State futures. Yes. What else do we got here? Boise State, you know, tough year last year. Andy Avalos, year one. But you look back and they had a lot of close losses. Hank Bachmeyer's a stud quarterback. He's starting to learn to get rid of the football. One of his biggest problems before is he was holding on to that football so much he would get dinged up. Now Boise opens up the season with back-to-back away games at Oregon State and at New Mexico, which is always tricky, playing back-to-back away games. Then they get UT Martin. If they can get by Oregon State, I expect them to be 3-0, and then they're still in September. So three away games in September, they head down to the Sun Bowl to take on a UTEP squad. Dana Dimmel doing a good job with the Miners last year, made a bowl. I still think Boise's ahead of them, so I think you could talk me into 4-0 before they host San Diego State and Fresno State on the Smurf turf. Wow, tough back to back games there. Then they get a bye week, and this is a smart bye week because it's right before their road game at Air Force. Air Force gives them fits. The triple option does. Getting that extra week of prep, I think is key for Boise State there. And then they're home to Colorado State and BYU and on the Smurf turf before at Nevada, at Wyoming, and then home to Utah State. It's a tough schedule. They have a tough schedule, but I feel like their road schedule, if they can get past Oregon State, I mean, I guess Air Force, a lot of people have Air Force favored to win the Mountain West. I don't know. I feel like it's a harder schedule than most years, but it doesn't have that, you know, Boise only has that. Last year they had Oklahoma State. Should have beat Oklahoma State. They get a power five. They just don't get one as good as that. I think teams, well, I think it's harder. Michigan State canceled a game with them. So, man, I think, yeah, Boise and Fresno this year, I think will really be probably you could be looking at a early Mountain West championship battle going on there. Then you have Air Force. I mean, the Falcons, don't look now, but their defenses have been fucking elite the past few years. Air Force, Troy Calhoun's one of the most underrated coaches in America. Their road schedule is at Wyoming, at Utah State, at UNLV, at San Diego State. So, I mean, yes, you get Utah State, UNLV, Utah State and San Diego State, which are two really tough teams. But I don't know. I kind of think they're contenders. If I had to go tiers, I would put Fresno at the one in the Mountain West. Boise at the two, Air Force at the three. It kind of gets tough though, because Utah State's returning everybody. They won the transfer portal. How could I put Utah State at four? No, I got to put Utah State maybe at two. Boise three, Air Force four, San Jose State five. I mean that's a really good front five. Wyoming six. Or Colorado State with Norvell. Let's talk about that. That's a great hire by Colorado State. I don't know. I mean, I think this conference is loaded this year. Sure, and UNLV was showing signs of life last year. They lost a lot. Let me pull up UNLV. They lost a lot of close games. I mean, Nevada has got a guy coming in that, yes, we've never seen him be a head coach, but he's been a part of that program for a long time. So maybe Nevada keeps a good program. Maybe they'll be all right again. They got Ellingsworth, the quarterback from Oklahoma State, transferring in. UNLV last year lost out the gate on a game that I was on Eastern Washington as a pretty big dog there. I think they were like, actually, I don't think it was that big. I think it was like seven, but they lose a double overtime game to Eastern Washington and Eric Barriere. Then they lose to Fresno State, one score game. So right now they have two losses and one score games. Then UTSA, three losses and one score games. Utah State, four losses and one score games. San Jose State, five losses and one score games. San Diego State, six. They had six losses and one score games last year. I was critical of the hire of Marcus Arroyo, but I would not be surprised if they turn the corner this year. I know they have a situation with the quarterback. Is it going to be Cameron Friel from last year or Harrison Bailey, the new kid in town, the Tennessee transfer? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to watch what happens there. But I think UNLV is close to turning that corner. Now, New Mexico, I'm not as sold on, but Rocky Long defenses, you know, they've been able to hang around. But I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. I think they brought in a Kansas transfer and Miles Kendrick. And they have a Isaiah Chavez, a freshman that got some burn last year, but I don't know how New Mexico will. I think they're still in the clear cut cellar here. Maybe you could talk me into Hawaii and New Mexico being the worst, but I mean, Hawaii just 2 years ago was a bowl team. My problem with this year, and yes, they go out and hire Timmy Chang, and I think that could work out long term. He's a legend on the island. He runs that run and shoot. But the problem is so many players transferred out that I almost think that year one's going to be incredibly tough for him. He did get Cameron Cooper, the Washington State transfer who played in the Rolovich's system, which I think Timmy Chang's system will be similar to that. That's a good get, but they lost a ton. and Utah State. And here's what I mean by the so listen to this. Here's the rotating quarterback play here. What did I mention before? Chevin Cordero leaves Hawaii to go to San Jose State. So San Jose State will have him and Nick Nash battling for a starting spot. Utah State has Logan Bonner returning. That kid was terrific last year. They won the Mountain West. Blake Anderson's first year. But they also go out and get Levi Williams, the starting quarterback, the previous starting quarterback of Wyoming. And meanwhile, their backup quarterback that started a few games last year, Andrew Peasley, transfers to Wyoming. I mean, Boise State plays Oregon State often. Bachmeyer's back at quarterback for Boise State, but Bachmeyer's gotten injured a lot. Sam Vidlak, the former starting quarterback of Oregon State, transfers to Boise State. He's a backup for Bachmeyer. I mean, you go through this and you're just like, what the hell? Colorado State's, I think they're going to be starting Clay Millen at quarterback, if I had to guess, Matt Mummy's offense. He's a Nevada transfer that came over with Jay Norvell. If I feel like everyone's played at the same university or the whole conference, short of San Diego State, but they have their own transfer and Braxton Burmeister coming in from Virginia Tech. I don't know. It's chaos. It's chaos. But I think the Mountain West is going to be fantastic to watch this year. I can't wait to watch really I can't wait for Vegas to release the odds, and we'll do another episode on that when you can go through and find value, because I guarantee you there's probably decent value. I would bet that they probably have Utah State still the favorite with Boise right there, and then probably Fresno or Air Force. But man, you're going to have some good odds for some long shots in the AAC and the Mountain West this year. And I can't wait to talk about it with you. All right. All right, folks, we're rocking solo. Remember, tomorrow night we will be back with Patty C and NC Nick talking week two college football. But before we get out of here, we still got a couple of other conferences to talk about. But before we do all that, we got to tell you, we got to get paid. We are brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. It costs you less than $3 a day. Think about that. $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality too. I mean, shit, that's something as I age, I didn't get that warning that sleeping sucks as you age. Not that I'm the 75-year-old person yet, but I'm saying I live in an apartment complex. I turn on the fucking weed whackers on at like 8 a.m. It's always a pain. All right. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supplement of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Once again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Whew. Gotta love that. I also want to tell you, we're brought to you by IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to truly stay private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's really that simple. It really is. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices too, without sacrificing, you know, on your speed of your computers or your tablets or your phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free, people. IPVanish is easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You don't even, you won't even know it's on, people. All right. So go to IPVanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP to claim 70% off your savings. Once again, that is IPVanish, IPVanish.com/SGP. We're back on the college football experience and we're just having fun. Told you 5 days a week, I'll be cranking out. I think I might have to go through the top positions for each conference, all that stuff. Heisman odds. We are just everything. Well, we got you covered here. All right. But let's continue this thing. Let's hop on over to the Fun Belt Sun Belt, the conference I'm most excited to watch. The new Sun Belt, man, I love it, especially the Sun Belt East. They have, I mean, if you're in the Sun Belt West, you're coasting. At least right now you are. Sun Belt East, bring your fucking hard hat. Coastal Carolina, Jamie Chadwell, Grayson McCall, they're still there. App State, up in Boone, love their program. Chase Bryce, you taking advantage of that extra year of eligibility, he's back. They also brought in Brady McBride, the Texas State transfer. And I mean, they have some big time out of conference games. They get North Carolina, they get Texas A&M. I mean, they're legit every year, both those programs, Coastal and App. And Georgia State. Georgia State has been doing a damn good job. Sean Elliott returns Danny Granger. They also get Keelan Brown, the Memphis quarterback transfer. They return a decent amount of starters. I know nothing like last year, but still, I think they're going to be good. I think he's got that program really going in the right direction. So you got those right there. Then you have Georgia Southern, which has been a great football program for like 50 years. Now they're ditching the triple option, which makes me really, really disgusted. And they hire Clay Helton. I don't think it's going to work out personally. I think that's a weird hiring. I think the triple option belongs at Georgia Southern. It goes with their uniforms. So really disappointed to see that they got away from the triple option. I think if anyone's going to struggle in the East, I think that's the team to circle. Now they did go out and get a Buffalo transfer, Kyle Van Treese at quarterback. I think they also brought in a Western Michigan transfer at quarterback. But I think Van Treese will be the starter. I don't expect them. I think they're kind of a mess right now. When you transition from the triple option to going to a pro style or Helton's had a history of passing more than he runs. And that's the thing back at USC, his teams were never very disciplined to me. I thought they always got a lot of penalties. I thought they never looked very crisp. I question the hire. I question the motive to move out of the triple option because I mean, they won a shit ton of FCS national championships. What got you here, Georgia Southern? The triple option, or I guess I shouldn't say the triple option, the option, because some of those years when they had Willie Fritz and stuff, they were doing all different types of things, but it was option football, run heavy. I think that could be the one, but they still have a rich history. So this whole side of this conference in the East is just loaded. You got Old Dominion, Ricky Ronnie's first year. Gets them to a bowl. They win five straight in his first year as a head coach, being a head coach. They make a bowl. He's right in Southern Virginia. Ton of recruiting talent there. They return Dariel Mack or DJ Mack, the UCF transfer, and Hayden Wolf, who started some games too. But they also went out and got Brendan Clark, a transfer from Notre Dame. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be Clark starting there. But they're deep now at quarterback. At ODU, where's it? Newport News? I don't remember where. Norfolk. But yeah, I think ODU, you add that to the mix, and then they go out and Marshall's in the mix. They add Marshall to the conference. Yeah, I get it. Grant Wells leaves. He goes to Virginia Tech. Then they go out and they get Henry Columbi, the quarterback from Texas Tech. I think Marshall's been a great program for like 30 years as well, since the days of Eric Cresser, Troy Brown, Randy Moss. And I remember when App State played Marshall, I think it was last year or the year before, I said, man, this is a rivalry that needs to come back. Sure enough, they're in the same conference now. And then they add James Madison, Patty C's squad. James Madison should have been in the FBS a long time ago. They just played for the national championship, what, 2 years ago? Or no, 3 years ago. Lost at the 1 yard line, Trey Lance. And then what, 2 years ago, they went to the Final Four, essentially. Last year, they went to the Final Four, lost to North Dakota State in the end zone. But they're legit. They probably were the second best team in the FBS or in the FCS last year. This is a rich program from the days of Charles Haley. This is a program that's going to fit right in. And their quarterback Cole Johnson's gone, but they go out and get Todd Senteo, the Colorado State quarterback from a season ago. Sign me up for watching all of these games: Coastal against Marshall, App against App against Georgia State, you know, Old Dominion, JMU, Marshall, Georgia Southern. These are going to be awesome games. I sign me up every week. I hope you play more weekday games. Now the Sun Belt West is a bit different. You have Texas State, who lost McBride to App State, but don't panic if you're a Texas State Bobcat fan. First off, with Louisiana losing their head coach to Florida, Billy Napier, Louisiana's kind of owned the West lately. I think there's opportunity for anyone. Texas State. Yes, you returned Tyler Vitt at quarterback. You also brought in a Syracuse transfer, but I think the real one that we circle here at Texas State is Lane Hatcher coming in from Arkansas State, same division, but Hatcher he's put up some great numbers. I think Terry Bowden's been, I thought he really did decent year one at ULM. He loses Rich Rodriguez to Jacksonville State, but I think ULM is heading in the right direction. Louisiana, I expect to take a little bit of a dip. Levi Lewis is gone, as well as Billy Napier and their running backs. Sure, I think Chandler Fields, I think, will be the quarterback there. But Texas State, I feel like, hey, if you're a Texas State fan, I think there's opportunity to come up. If you're an Arkansas State fan, Butch Jones, I mean, they look like shit last year, and I was questioning that hiring. But hey, you got James Blackman, the former Florida State quarterback. Someone's got to win these games. Potentially, one that I like, Southern Miss, and Southern Miss is one. I love their program. They've had some dark days lately, but I don't know what they'll do at quarterback. I don't know if it'll be Jake Lang back this year, but Frank Gore Jr. was playing some quarterback for them last year. I liked that hire they did with Hall, and I think it will. You just got to trust the process. But hey, someone's got to win these games this year. It's probably going to be Louisiana again this year, just because the talent level, they were recruiting at a decent level. But I think there's opportunity if you're a fan of any of those schools over there. Troy, yes, they're bringing in a new coach, but Troy, Gunnar Watson, I think, is back. South Alabama, Desmond Trotter's back at QB. They also brought in Carter Bradley from Toledo. I think it's anyone's conference. Slight lean to Louisiana, but I think Troy or Southern Miss, or it wouldn't surprise me if any of those teams came out of there. But it is crazy because you have the Sun Belt East, unbelievably good. Sun Belt West, just kind of right now, everyone's a question mark. It makes for some good games and good football, but potentially the Sun Belt Championship might be a blowout. So I can't wait to watch, especially App and Coastal Carolina. I feel like that rivalry has really turned into like the best. When you talk about the best group of five rivalries right now, or over the past 5 years, UCF, Cincinnati, I think Memphis and Houston seem to be doing some good battle there. I mean, let me restate that: group of five against group of five. So it wouldn't work saying East Carolina, NC State, or something like that. But I think App State Coastal Carolina has been pretty damn good. I think it's on that level. I think you can probably make a case Boise, Fresno State has had, they've had some great games. And probably you throw San Diego State in that mix too. But yeah, I mean, I think if gun to my head, I would favor Coastal. That game this year is in Conway against App. I would probably go Coastal 1, App 2, Georgia State or Marshall 3. I don't know. ODU could be. I was really impressed with ODU this past year. yeah. Anyway, let's hop on over and talk a little CUSA. A lot of teams left. Southern Miss, Old Dominion. Who else? There's one more I thought that left. Marshall. So now they're kind of doing the, they have some week zero games. There's no longer divisions, 11 teams. Should be interesting to see. Obviously UTSA was the big story a season ago and Frank Harris is back. Now they do lose Sincere McCormick. He left early to go to the NFL, but man, is Jeff Bryant doing a great job with that program. And I'm very excited. I thought they had a great year in the transfer portal too. They went out and got some key players. Frank Harris is back. I expect now the schedule's a lot harder this year. We'll see if they can get it done, but the Roadrunners, meep meep. I'm super excited to see that program's trajectory. They could be the next big thing. I think with them jumping to the AAC, I think that's the big storyline for me with the Conference USA this year is can UTSA stay at the level of what they're building or keep building up to that? That is key. UAB. Bill Clark did a great job there, but it seems like they somehow find ways to lose some of these close games. They got Jacob Zeno, Baylor transfer coming in, but I don't expect him to start over Dylan Hopkins. Hopkins was pretty good, and they got Dwayne McBride back at running back. I think that is once again they should be right there in the mix. For FIU, the airport. They got Mike McIntyre, who I think he's a great coach. Did a great job at San Jose State. I thought he did a pretty good job at Colorado too, and I thought he should have been given another year. It's going to be interesting to see what he does at FIU in year one. They got Gunnar Holmberg, the Duke transfer, coming in. I don't think they're going to contend for the conference, but I think he can get them to a bowl maybe. What else do we got going on? FAU. I mean, they're an incredibly talented team. I don't know if Taggart, I mean, they're kind of the wild card in the CUSA. They got Nikosi Perry, who I feel like is a 20-year senior at quarterback. Can he get it together with the Owls? I mean, talent-wise, you would have to put them in the mix. Then you have, who else? Charlotte, Chris Reynolds. I feel like he's been a quarterback at Charlotte a long time. Will Healy. I think Charlotte could be a player this year. I think they hit the over on us. That was one of our locks last year. I think Charlotte could be a player. Chris Reynolds, I think what he put up some pretty big numbers last year. Let me see if I can find that. I want to say he put up like 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he's back. I mean, that could be all the difference this year. I mean, UTSA did win a lot of close games a season ago. If you pull up UTSA's schedule, let me pull that up real quick from a year ago, despite, you know, me really believing in them preseason, that was one of my overs I cashed too. I really feel like this team, they're heading in the right direction, but this year's schedule, first off, they get Houston, Army, and Texas out the gate with at Army and at Texas back-to-back away. Whew, relax. I love it in a way. But yeah, you look back at the 2021 schedule for the Roadrunners, and you lose Sincere McCormick this year. They won by 7 at Illinois in a game that I was on. That was awesome, but still a one score win. Beat Memphis by 3 in a game that they had to battle back. They were getting their ass kicked by Memphis at one point that game. That's 2 wins there. They beat UNLV by 7. So 3 wins by a touchdown. They beat Western Kentucky at Western Kentucky by 6, which came down to a 4th and inches. What is that? That's 4 wins right there by a score or less. And then you have the UAB win by three. Five wins. And in the Conference USA Championship game, they had six wins this past season by a score or less. They were 12-2. Can they maintain that? Can they continue to head in the right direction? I think that's the big storyline in the Conference USA. Now, I will say, if you're going to talk about how great that run was for UTSA the past 2 years, really, you got to talk about what Dana Dimel's doing with the UTEP Miners. Made a bowl last year for the first time in a long time. And if you look at their schedule, they get the week zero matchup with North Texas, and they get the Battle of I-10 rivalry game with New Mexico State. They get New Mexico State and New Mexico back to back. They could be 3-1 to open the season. Gavin Hardison's back at quarterback. Sure, they lose their wide receiver, Jacob Cowing. He's at Arizona now. But 3-1 to open the season, and you're hosting Boise. I mean, I think you're going to lose that. So 3-2 at Charlotte, kind of a 50-50 game. I think I'd favor Charlotte, though. So 3-3. If they could just get to a bowl, I know that schedule's, I mean, after that, they get at Louisiana Tech. We don't know what to expect with them as they shift from Skip Bolts to the air raid with Sonny Cumbie coming in. And then they get a slew of home games with Florida Atlantic, Middle Tennessee. They're at Rice, home to FIU. They can make another bowl. Watch out. I like the Miners being good. Next up, I don't know. I mean, you look at this conference. Middle Tennessee, Rick Stockstill, Old Faithful. You got Chase Cunningham coming back. They were good last year. And they kept winning with like quarterback injuries. Stockstill's an underrated coach. Watch out for them this year. I think that's another storyline, is who's going to contend with UTSA. UTSA and UAB are the clear cut 1-2. Western Kentucky loses Bailey Zappe and their whole offense. But Jared Deggy, the West Virginia transfer, formerly of Bowling Green, comes in. Maybe Clay Helton's brother can work some magic. Why am I drawing a blank on his first name? I don't know. It's Helton. But maybe they can work some magic. Tyson Helton. Maybe they'll be back in the mix. Florida Atlantic and Middle Tennessee are probably the big wild cards, though. But I feel like I'm saying this for every fucking team in this conference. La Tech will be interesting. Air raid, going full air raid on us. How fast will it take them to get that down? Matthew Downing comes over from TCU, where he ran he's familiar with Cumbie and his offense from those days. Then you have North Texas, Seth Luttrell, Mike Leach's boy. They return Austin Une at quarterback. They also brought in JD Head from Louisiana Tech. They also brought in Stone Early from Abilene Christian in the FCS ranks. They got some capable quarterbacks, and they do lose DeAndre Torrey. So I wonder if how's that going to work out? It's interesting. They became more of a running team. Seth Luttrell, an old fullback for Mike Leach at Oklahoma, kind of zigging where they zag. I have no idea what to expect besides UAB and UTSA contending. I think that's the main storyline. I don't find that much other super compelling. Can FIU get to a bowl? How will Sonny Cumbie do at La Tech? Stockstill and you actually, I think UTEP. Can UTEP and Charlotte continue to head in the right direction? What else do we got before we get out of here? We got Maction. Can't forget about the Mac. Shout out to the Tuesday and Wednesday night games that the Mac always supplies us with. They should do it all year, though. They only do it like starting like week 8 now. The Mac is interesting. What I talked about this before about how certain quarterbacks like Michael Pratt were able to stay despite you would think all these schools would have called them. You had quarterback problems. Normally you go right down to, you know, some of the smaller schools. Well, Caleb Ellaby is one of these at Western Michigan. This dude's a stud. This dude is if you have not seen Western Michigan play, Caleb Ellaby threw 23 touchdowns, only had six interceptions a year ago. Excuse me. And I mean, they beat Pitt, who won the ACC at Pitt. Pitt's got to come to Kalamazoo this year too. Oh man, tell me they sweep Narduzzi. That guy's a stud. He's fun to watch. I think that's the one you circle when with the MAC. Number one is Caleb Ellaby, the most exciting player in the MAC. But also, they brought in an Alabama transfer, Stone Holland, back to back him up if Ellaby gets dinged up. And then you have kind of like a changing of a guard for a lot of teams. Eastern Michigan loses Hutchison. He transfers to Chattanooga. Ben Bryant transfers to Cincinnati. So what do? They go out and get Taylor Powell from Troy. They also brought in Cameron McCoy from Cincinnati. But they're kind of completely inexperienced at the quarterback position. Northern Illinois kind of in the same situation. Rocky Lombardi, he's gone. Ethan Hampton is back, who backed him up. And then Justin Lynch, who got some burn starting at Temple. Wasn't great burn. Transfers in. Kind of inexperienced. Buffalo loses Van Treese to Georgia Southern. They go out and get Cole Snyder, a transfer from Rutgers. Struggled at Rutgers. Maybe he can make it work in the MAC. We hit on this before. Carter Bradley transferred out of Toledo. That's because he had lost his starting job to Daquan Finn. But depth is an issue. Finn played great, though, as a freshman for the Rockets. Can this be the year Jason Candle does this? Jason Candle turned down the OC job at Miami with Mario Cristobal to stay at Toledo because, you know, they've been knocking on the door, but they just haven't got that MAC championship. Maybe this is the year. Then you got, you know, MAC legend Nathan Rourke. His he's currently in the CFL, I believe, for the BC Lions. His younger brother Curtis Rourke is at Ohio. Frank Solich retired late in the season last year. He had some heart problems. Ken, you know, Ohio, because they had a tough year. That thing, it seemed like that just got they weren't expecting that. Tim Albin, year one, they struggled. Maybe they can get back on the right side of things. But Western Michigan with Tim Lester and I think is Caleb Ellaby, I think, is one of the big storylines here. Central Michigan too. Daniel Richardson was just a freshman at quarterback. Now their defense got rated by the SEC and Big 12 in the transfer portal, but Jim McElwain, I think, is a pretty good coach. I think the state of Michigan in the MAC will be the fun for me. I love Chris Creighton at Eastern Michigan, with Ellaby returning with Lester at Western Michigan, and then Central Michigan being. I like those three schools. I'm going to be watched. I like. Okay, those are the ones I want to seek out to see. And then you know, Kent State, Dustin Crum. Remember Conan the Barbarian? Dustin Crum is going to the NFL. So. Yes, and if they're gonna crush their enemies, it's gonna be Colin Schley at quarterback. They went to the MAC championship a year ago. We'll see how they do without Crum. But I think one of the big things to circle here is the fact Joe Moorhead took the Akron job, because I was shocked he took the job. NC Nick was shocked they took the job. Patty C was shocked he took the job. Now, I don't know who. I don't. Is it going to be DJ Irons at quarterback? Is he bringing in some transfers? I don't know. I mean, that's another thing. There's still a lot of quarterbacks out there. Jack Sears being one of them. That there's some good talent in the transfer portal at quarterback. Jonah Johnson. Does Akron go with DJ Irons? I don't know. But just the fact Joe Moorhead went to Akron, I think we circle that. That is going to be must-watch TV every week, I feel like. Bowling Green got Matt McDonald. He's back. He's a super senior. They kind of were better last year. I know they were dog shit a couple years ago, but I mean, they kind of show signs for him. I don't know. They're giving what's the guy's name at Bowling Green? I'm drawing a blank. Leffler, I think it is. Yeah, Scott Leffler, formerly of Virginia Tech. They're giving him a hard time, or I'm sorry, they're giving him a long time at Bowling Green. I don't know if this will be the year. We shall see. But and then you have Northern Illinois, won the MAC a year ago in crazy fashion. We should pull up. It's almost like UTSA all over again. I think they were the luckiest team in the nation. Thomas Hammack, they lose Rocky Lombardi. But look at this run last year. I mean, I watched some of these games and it was fucking fun. It was really fun. As they pulled out some of these games, I think one of them, the kicker, they were going to lose the Central Michigan, but the kicker, I don't know if I think he whiffed on the ball or something. I don't remember, but it was a wacky game. And I feel like every game I turned into to Northern Illinois last year was just wacky as all can be. Let's go through it. They beat Georgia Tech 22-21 when they go for two week one. That started the season of chaos. They lose by 7 to Wyoming in a crazy game, 50-43. They get housed by Michigan, then they take care of business against Maine, which actually is a deceiving score. That game was closer than what the score represents. But right now, one win by 1 point. Then they beat Eastern Michigan by 7. So two wins now by a score or less. Then they beat Toledo by 2. So 3 wins now by a score or less. Then they beat Bowling Green by 1 score. So by 8. So now you have 4 wins by a score or less. A 1 point win against Central Michigan, 5 wins by a score or less, a 1 point win against Ball State, 6 wins by a score or less, overtime 6 point win against Buffalo, 7 wins by a score or less. They're the most entertaining team in the football or in all of college football. Can they return to that? I don't know. I have my doubts. I think the state of Michigan might have something to say about the MAC championship this year. I don't know. I mean, I think those are the big storylines though. And then, I guess I gotta get us paid one more time and then we'll talk about some independence and get out of here on the college football experience there. I want to tell you that we're brought to you by StableDuel. All right. StableDuel is to me, this is pretty cool. It's like DFS for horse racing. All right. You can play free and paid games for a real cash prize. You can win as much as 40 grand with one entry. So make sure you head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And last but not least, you're brought to you by us. Yes. I mean, guys, come on now, get the SGPN app. You got to get it. All right. Get access to all of our free picks and podcast. You got to get it. You got to get it. So, look, it's free in the App Store and Google Play Store. You'll have access to everything. So grab that thing today and let it ride. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. All right. We're almost out of here. Independence. No, I'm not counting BYU and Notre Dame. They're not group of five. UConn hires what? Jim Mora Jr., which I think is a very interesting hire because he goes out and gets 4-star Taquan Robinson to transfer in from Penn State. Right away, your talent has gone way the fuck up. I'm intrigued. I'm actually super intrigued. This is the year of the independents for me. When you add in BYU and Notre Dame with their situations, with BYU pending joining the Big 12 and Marcus Freeman year one at Notre Dame and the way he's recruiting. Then you add in, like I said, UConn bringing in Taquan Robinson. Or I'm sorry, Roberson. And then you have Liberty. They lose Malik Willis, who will be a top 10 pick, it seems like. And then Charlie Brewer, who's been in college since the Nixon administration, I feel like, transfers in. Hugh Freeze with Charlie Brewer, sign me up. Army running the triple option. Jeff Munkin is doing a great job there. They lose Christian Anderson, but Tahir Tyler seems to be the guy. You know, it's the triple option. You just put an athlete back there. I'm always intrigued. UMass gets Don Brown. I'm intrigued on that hire. Last year they started a freshman and Brady Olson. I'm only making that assumption that he's their quarterback this year. And then Jerry Kill to New Mexico State. I know Jonah Johnson's in the portal. I got no idea. I guess it's Dino Maldonado that will be starting there. I have no idea. I need to watch spring ball for the Aggies. Sign me up for watching all of the independents this year. Folks, make sure you subscribe to the College Football Experience. And tomorrow, me, Patty, CNC, Nick, going through week two. We got you covered. Talking college football 5 days a week, year round. All right? Year round. Subscribe, tell a friend. Also subscribe to the College Basketball Experience because we do the same. We talk college basketball year round as well. And remember, subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast. What a great weekend. I won $1,000, finished first place in DraftKings. I gave away that most of that lineup, 95% of that lineup on air. That could have been you. All right. So subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Get that SGPN app, folks. And what else? What else do I got to tell you? Oh, I'm on Twitter at @TheColbyD. Give me a follow. The College Football Experience is on Twitter and Instagram at TCE on SGPN. All right. This is the College Football Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. You come from a land down under. Oh, women go.